from KLW News in San Francisco. This is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Temescal.
Tenderloin.
Treasure Island.
Richmond, California.
On today's show, we'll break down what's at stake with immigration reform.
I'm undocumented. It's not just another bill for me. This is huge. This is my future. This is the future of our communities.
We'll look at what senators are proposing and what it could mean for immigrant workers and families.
For 11 million workers to know that the boss is not going to be able to intimidate them because of their immigration status, it would give them a lot more confidence and courage to stand up for their rights.
And a young undocumented student talks about how for people like her, change comes with mixed emotions.
I am benefiting from something, and my parents are not. And I am here because of my parents. So that makes them feel really terrible.
Immigration reform and its consequences. That's today on Cross Currents. It's been 2 weeks since a group of senators submitted their bill for comprehensive immigration reform. The 844-page document proposes changes to almost every aspect of immigration policy, from family visits to border security. Speaking at a press conference yesterday, President Barack Obama said it's a good start, and he laid out his own vision for reform.
The bill that they produced is not the bill that I would have written. They're elements of it that I would change. But I do think that it meets the basic criteria that I laid out from the start, which is we've got to have more effective border security, although it should build on the great improvements that have been made on border security over the last 4 to 5 years. We should make sure that we are cracking down on employers that are gaming the system. We should make the legal immigration system work more effectively so that the waits are not as burdensome, the bureaucracy is not as complicated, so that we can continue to attract the best and the brightest from around the world to our shores in a legal fashion. And we want to make sure that we've got a pathway to citizenship that is tough, but allows people to earn over time their legal status here in this country.
That's just the opening gambit in what promises to be a long negotiation. Almost every single one of the reform provisions could change. And as the full Senate considers the legislation, organizers across the country are already lobbying to make those changes. Here in San Francisco, a coalition of organizations marched today in honor of International Workers' Day, and they're rallying at Civic Center this evening to push for changes to the bill. Yesterday afternoon, KALW's Alyssa Kapnick met with a small group of activists in the Tenderloin. They were busy preparing for the march and rally today, coloring signs and learning multicultural chants to call out as they march in Cantonese, Tagalog, Spanish, and English. Jose Ivan Arriola said he felt it was imperative to come out and march.
It's not just another bill for me. This is, huge. This is my future. This is the future of our communities and the well-being of our communities here in the United States. So I'm undocumented, and the reason that I came forward and became public about my status is because I knew as long as I remained invisible that my life, my reality, my experiences, and my needs and the needs of my community would also remain invisible.
Arriola said he hopes today's marches will send a strong message.
This is something that's really, really important, and we still have a lot of work to do in terms of making sure this bill is as beneficial, as accessible, and as humane as it needs to be for our communities.
One thing the bill would do is create pathways to citizenship for undocumented people currently living in the U.S., like Jose Arriola. But not all of these paths are created equal. Reporters Jill Replogle and John Rossman from the Fronteras Reporting Project got together to break down the routes to a green card. Who would benefit and who'd be left out?
All right, Jill, it's finally here. Reform to our broken immigration system. Well, maybe. But to explain it, I created a very rudimentary digital game. We can just call it a map to show the paths of a few people who will be affected by this bill.
Okay, John is pulling up on his laptop what looks like a page in a U.S. passport. At the bottom of the passport are some tokens. We've got an exit sign, a shovel, a hamburger. John, what's with the hamburger?
It's the most American thing I can think of. It's the symbol for immigrants already living here without papers, the main beneficiaries of this bill.
Okay. One of them is Jorge. I interviewed him a few months back out in front of Home Depot. He's been working in San Diego in construction for 13 years. Let's listen.
Porque a mí, yo sí, a mí me dan papeles. Claro que sí voy a ir a limpiar baños. ¿Por qué no?
He says if he gets papers, he'll clean bathrooms. Why not? He says he'll go wherever they'll give him work and pay him fairly.
Yo voy a ir.
So here's Jorge on his path to citizenship. Wait for it. All right. First stop, provisional legal status. He'll have to pay a fee and a fine for being here legally all these years, pay taxes and pass a criminal background check, but he'll get a temporary permit allowing him to work and travel. He can visit his family in Guadalajara. But then, boom, he hits a wall.
The border security wall. Yeah, according to the Senate proposal, no one is getting any further a green card or citizenship until there's a plan to secure the border. And let's not forget about the line. There are millions of people who have been legally waiting ahead of Jorge for years, decades. The Senate proposal gives 10 years to secure the border and get through some of that backlog before Jorge can apply to become a permanent resident.
During that time, Jorge needs to remain employed, stay out of trouble, learn English. And Jorge will not get Obamacare. No welfare, no food stamps. If all goes well, one day, Jorge opens his mailbox, and inside is a green card. And then, after 3 more years, he can apply to become a naturalized American citizen.
Okay, let's look at someone else. What about a farm worker like this man?
Mi nombre es Israel Paniagua Campos.
Israel is originally from Mexico City, but he's lived in San Diego's North County for about 12 years. And he spent most of that time working in very cold greenhouses, cutting fresh flowers.
So Israel's token on the map is a shovel. His path is shorter, way shorter. Farm workers have a fast track to a green card because they're considered so vital to our economy. If Israel is willing to work in the fields or greenhouses for another 5 to 7 years, he'll be eligible for permanent residency.
That's potentially 5 years before Jorge, the construction worker, gets his. Israel told me he would totally take that deal, and he hopes it would mean better working conditions for him and others here illegally.
Para que todas las personas se sientan y estén...
All workers should be protected and have the same rights, he says.
Por igual.
There's one more thing I want to show you on this map, Jill. You see that right there?
The exit sign.
Yep. There's a category of folks who will have no path under this bill.
We talked to one of them. His name is Elmer Cardenas Gonzalez, and he actually used to have a green card, but then he got charged with a felony stemming from some threats he made during a fight. Here's Elmer.
That's another thing that gets me is I took a deal. I should have fought it because it was a felony. It's a felony.
Unfortunately for Elmer, immigrant felons have no path to legalization under this proposed bill.
But there are many others who do. There'd be a guest worker program to bring in temporary farm workers and a new visa category for high-skilled workers and lower-skilled workers based on their merits and the needs of the economy.
And let's not forget about the Dreamers, young people who were brought here illegally by their parents when they were kids. They'd have their own accelerated path to citizenship. John, cue up the accelerated path. Nice.
And of course, this could all change. The bill will probably be slashed, rehashed, elongated, or just completely scrapped. The debate has really just begun. I'm John Rossman.
And I'm Jill Replogle in San Diego.
That piece was produced as part of the Fronteras Reporting Project, and we'll put a link to more immigration coverage at kalw.org. And you can contact us through our Facebook page. We're KALW. You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan, and today we're examining what's at stake as the Senate considers comprehensive immigration reform. In that last story, we heard about the different pathways to citizenship proposed for different types of workers. One path for agricultural laborers, another for high-tech employees, and yet another for people in service jobs like cleaning hotel rooms and mopping floors. American citizens who work in these jobs can sometimes join unions and gain access to more support and political clout than they'd otherwise have.
But those unions have historically had a tense relationship with undocumented workers. They're hard to organize, easy to exploit, and they're often accused of driving wages down for everyone. In recent months, several unions have weighed in on reform, and they'll continue to play a key role. From the Fronteras desk, Adrian Florido reports.
Today, Maria Elena Durazo heads the 800,000-member Los Angeles County Federation of Labor, making her one of the nation's most powerful union leaders and a key player in the ongoing immigration reform negotiations. But before her current post, she led a hotel workers' union. She says one of the hardest parts of the job was convincing workers who were in the country illegally to organize. They knew they could be easily fired, and that had a domino effect.
The fear of one group created this fear in everybody, even if their immigration status was not an issue and not a problem.
And we thank them for their courage.
I spoke with Durazo on Monday outside the Hilton in San Diego's Mission Valley neighborhood. A few union supporters were camped under a red awning on the fourth day of a hunger strike. They were protesting the firing of 15 housekeepers.
All work has dignity, and we will fight no matter what the job is, no matter who.
The union says that when a new management company took over the Hilton recently, it ran all employees through E-Verify, the federal system that checks a person's eligibility to work in the U.S. The housekeepers were flagged and given a week to prove they could work in this country legally. Union leaders admit that the company had every right to use E-Verify, but because the hotel's workers were in the middle of a union drive, they claim it was retaliation. The hotel didn't have to use E-Verify. In California, it's voluntary.
They're trying to use it to fire workers at a time when the workers are organizing and want a union.
The management company is Evolution Hospitality. They refused to grant me an interview. But Sean McBurney is a vice president at the American Hotel and Lodging Association. He says that at a time when the Obama administration has increased enforcement against companies that hire unauthorized workers, hotels are at risk of penalties.
From our own standpoint, we want to know who our employees truly are, given the proliferation of fraudulent documents.
He says the union's protests against the hotel seem misdirected.
They would be put in legal jeopardy if they didn't follow the federal law.
But union leader Durazo claims that the use of a worker's legal status is a common union-busting strategy. That's one of the main reasons that the labor unions in the U.S. feel so much is at stake for them in the impending immigration reform bill. Union membership has been declining steadily for decades, but legalizing the 11 million immigrants without current legal status could be a boon for union membership and influence.
For 11 million workers to know that the boss is not going to be able to intimidate them because of their immigration status, it would bring them out of the shadows, and it will give them a lot more confidence and courage to stand up for their rights.
This at least partly explains the recent shift organized labor has taken in its position toward immigrant and guest workers. And for maybe the first time in history, that puts them in league with big business, which wants more access to immigrant labor.
Some argue that we should do a better job of educating, training, and putting our own people to work. Damn right, we should.
That's U.S. Chamber of Commerce President Tom Donahue addressing the chamber recently in Washington, D.C.
But we still need immigrants.
Last month, unions struck an unprecedented deal with Donahue's group over guest workers. Over time, up to 200,000 temporary workers would be admitted annually, depending on the need. But at the demand of organized labor, they'd also have more rights than do current guest workers. They would not be bound to a single employer. They'd earn prevailing wages, and they'd be allowed to pursue permanent legal status once here. Reform will also likely mandate a program like E-Verify to check new workers' legal status. Maria Elena Durazo says labor can support an E-Verify program.
That is fair, that has reliable information, and that is just not used in a way to assert power against those workers.
Those agreements are expected to be part of a proposed Senate bill for comprehensive immigration reform, expected any day now.
That's Adrian Florido, and his piece comes to us from the Fronteras Public Reporting Project. Are you part of a union? We'd like to hear what you have to say about immigration reform. Do you think there's something missing from the conversation? Join the discussion at our Facebook page. We're KALW. This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan. While the debate over immigration reform continues on the national level, many state and local programs are making reforms on a smaller scale. A growing project at the University of California, Berkeley specifically targets the needs of undocumented students and helps them apply for legal status. It's considered one of a kind. But while students certainly benefit, others and their families remain in limbo, as Youth Radio's Luis Flores reports.
Tucked away in the Student Center at UC Berkeley, the Undocumented Students Program is designed to be a national model. It makes college possible for students without legal status. Meng So runs the program. He's totally passionate about the work, and he insists that students here couldn't wait around for national immigration reform.
And so we said, as the number one public institution in America, we're going to take a lead, and we're going to act when others won't.
That means low-cost housing, financial aid, and free legal services, on top of the in-state tuition and grants that California offers many undocumented students who attended 3 years of high school, all to support students like sophomore Carlos Hernandez Martinez.
I'm actually, I guess what you would call a dreamer, and I came to this country, or my parents brought me to this country when I was 4 years old. I've lived here my whole life. I've been raised here. So sometimes I feel more from here than I do from Mexico. And my parents say that too, like, you're basically born here. You've done everything here.
Without the support at Berkeley, Martinez couldn't afford school. But if he wasn't in school, his options were limited. He couldn't legally work or drive. Berkeley's program doesn't fix this. But last summer, the Obama administration announced a deferred action program for childhood arrivals, which Martinez applied for. For those who are eligible, it prevents deportation and gives young adults a 2-year work permit.
Do you have proof of presence in the U.S. on June 15th? Options can be bank statement.
College student Chun Di is going through his deferred action application at the East Bay Community Law Center. A lot of undocumented students from Cal get referred here.
So it has to be on that day?
So ideally it's that day.
I don't think I have it on that day.
Do you have something close to that day?
You know, a lot of these people haven't met with a lawyer before.
Linda Tam is a lawyer at the center. There are about 20 different young adults here tonight applying for status. Some have their parents with them.
I think it's really scary for them. You know, there's a lot at stake, and the idea that you could be deported to a country that you never knew, really, because you came over at such a young age. And some of my clients, like, their parents are in deportation proceedings.
A lot of my peers that I've spoken to feel very conflicted about it.
That's Linda Sanchez. She's an undocumented student at Berkeley who is getting ready to graduate. For her, getting approved for deferred action would mean being able to find a job after she finishes school. But she still has mixed feelings about the program. She says her friends say the experience is like a Mexican Christmas. Children receive all the gifts, and the parents don't receive anything in return.
They feel a sense of guilt, you know, more than anything, because they feel like I am benefiting from something, and my parents are not. And I am here because of my parents. So that makes them feel really terrible.
As for Carlos Hernandez Martinez, his parents still don't have any legal status. But he found out in December that he was approved for deferred action. He says he sometimes asks his parents about their personal ambitions, their dream jobs, or what they would want to study. But he knows they won't ever have the opportunity to pursue those things.
And see, that hurts me because I'm like, sometimes I'm like, oh man, you know, like, it's sort of like a way for me to like rethink of like, you know, what I'm actually doing and the privilege that I have of just being here. That's what also motivates me as well, you know?
As lawmakers debate immigration reform, many young adults who call themselves dreamers hope changes go beyond reforms that help them, and that whatever passes might benefit their parents too.
Reporter Luis Flores comes to us from Youth Radio, where that piece was produced. You can find more Youth Radio stories at youthradio.org. You'll also find more of their work at our website, which is kalw.org. This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. Today, we're taking a long look at what's being called comprehensive immigration reform. It's Congress's first serious attempt at overhauling the nation's immigration system in a generation. For years, the current system has emphasized keeping families together, but the new system would prioritize work status over family ties. The bill would allow U.S. citizens and permanent residents to bring children, parents, and spouses into the country, but it wouldn't extend visas to siblings or adult children. Still, changes in work rules would allow many undocumented immigrants to apply for legal status, and with it, the right to travel to their home countries. Fronteras reporter Jude Joffe Block reports on what these changes could mean for families who live on both sides of the border.
On a recent Sunday, almost a dozen people gather at the home of their family patriarch, 82-year-old Santiago Dominguez. His home is in the town of Tepeapulco, in the central Mexican state of Hidalgo. A lone portrait sits on a shelf of a dark-haired young woman, Dominguez's daughter.
Yo pensé que iba a estar unos tres o cuatro años por mucho.
I thought she was only going for 3 or 4 years at the most, and then would come back.
But it's been 18 years since Rosa Fabiana left for Phoenix. She took her two young sons and crossed into Arizona illegally to join the boy's father, who was working there. She hasn't been home since, and she's now 43 years old. Without papers, visiting Mexico was too much of a risk.
The moment came where I told her, "You know what, daughter? We will never see each other again."
Nunca nos vamos a volver a ver.
But now Dominguez believes he could live to see her visit after all. The immigration reform bill in the Senate would allow millions of immigrants like Rosa Fabiana to apply for a provisional status that would give the right to legally work and travel internationally.
Hay una esperanza que nunca se había visto.
There's hope, a hope that we've never had before.
It's a hope felt all across Mexico. A few towns over in Santa Barbara, Hidalgo, Catalina Cervera knocks on a neighbor's gate to visit the adjacent house her younger sister abandoned 10 years ago.
Buenos dias.
Her sister Sandra left this town to cross the border illegally with her three children, first to pick produce near Yuma, then to settle outside of Phoenix.
Ya le quitaron la puerta, la ventana.
In the years the family's been gone, vandals have stripped the house of everything valuable, even the roof, leaving just the skeleton. Catalina says she and her sister have felt impotencia, powerlessness. They want to see each other, but can't. When their mother was dying here, Sandra couldn't come back to say goodbye. And when Catalina looked into getting a U.S. tourist visa, she found she wasn't eligible.
Que tuviéramos cuenta en el banco. Que si tuviéramos algún negocio.
She says she didn't have what would have been needed to qualify, such as a bank account or own a business or have a credit card. But now Catalina can envision her sister and her sister's kids visiting this town again.
Están como motivados, ¿no? Con esa ilusión de que les va a...
They're motivated with the dream that this immigration reform is going to happen, she says. But as Congress debates the legislation, the wait continues.
Sin ti no podré vivir jamás.
Back in Tepeapulco, 82-year-old Santiago Dominguez still relies on the phone. He has a tradition of singing his daughter, Rosa Fabiana, a ballad called Sin Ti, or Without You.
¿Qué me puede ya importar? Si lo que me hace llorar es estar lejos de ti.
What else matters if being far from you makes me cry, he sings. Over 1,000 miles away and across the border in Phoenix, his daughter has become an activist for immigration reform.
Quisiera que esto se hiciera ya, porque la vida de nuestros padres no espera.
I want this to happen now, because our parents' lives won't wait.
Rosa Fabiana says if reform passes that allows her to travel, the first thing she'll do is buy a plane ticket to Mexico. She wants to surprise her father with a mariachi band and answer that ballad he sung to her for the last 18 years. Reporting from Hidalgo, Mexico, I'm Jude Joffe Block.
That piece was produced as part of the Fronteras Reporting Project. You'll find links to that and all of the pieces you've heard today at our website. It's kalw.org. And we're wondering what you think about immigration reform. What do you think is missing from the discussion? Do you have a personal experience? Call and tell us at our tip line, which is 415-264-7106. That number again to leave us a message is 415-264-7106, or you can visit us at our Facebook page, which is KALW. And that's it for today's Cross Currents from KLW News. Our team includes Isabel Angel, Hana Baba, Julie Kane, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Maya DePaula Hanica, Chris Hoff, Ashley Ann Krugbaum, Ray Sue Sussman, Alyssa Kapnick, Laura Sapinara, Chris Hoff, Judy Silber, Stephen Short, Melanie Young, and Mary Willis. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Also, thanks to you, KALW is independent, locally sourced, listener-supported public radio. Tune in to Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. We'll look under the cushions to find out what's really in our furniture.
If your chair was 50% flame retardants, that would work, but you wouldn't be very comfortable sitting on it, and the potential health effects would be really serious.
You might want to stand up from now on. That's tomorrow at 5 on Cross Currents.
Hey, that were you. I haven't seen you in some time.
Tin Cup Serenade released their second album last week in digital and in vinyl only. You can find a link to their music at klw.org, which is also where you can find more local music. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.
Cause over in Oakland, is just another sunny day. Oh, you don't have to fail. You can just give me what you got. Start to give me the job. Cause my car's just round the block. Round these parts.